Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our romp through Romans. Abraham, father of faith, promise guaranteed, peace through faith, reconciled while enemies, and death in Adam, life in Christ. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
It is the last thing that Jesus does during what we call his earthly ministry. It's the last time his disciples see him, except in an occasional vision or an appearance. He ascends into heaven. It certainly is a change of location in some sense. He does go up. I mean, there is some movement there, but then he is hidden by this bright cloud, this cloud of glory. And then it comes with the promise that he would come again in the same way that you saw him go. And that kind of implies a descension, that is, his coming again. How tightly together Christ's ascension and his coming again are tied together, especially at times like these when we long for Christ to come again. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be studying the Ascension Hymn, A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing. Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest. He is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. And he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much, Todd. Joy to be with you.
Historically, the celebration of Christ's ascension has been really, really important to the Christian church. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's so huge. I am very blessed to be part of a parish which has always observed the Feast of the Ascension on its proper day. That is the Thursday after Rogate Sunday. And sometimes, because lots of neighboring parishes didn't observe it, their members would join us. I still remember one day after Ascension Day liturgy, Bill Sievers from the parish to the north of us, he commented to me after the liturgy. He said, "I just don't get it, Pastor. It's one of the most important feasts. It's where we are now living." Bill was no dummy. That's exactly right. Luther puts it like this in the larger catechism. He says, after this, he rose from the dead. He swallowed up and devoured death and finally ascended into heaven and assumed the government at the Father's right hand. He did these things so that the devil and all his powers must be subjected to him and lie at his feet until finally at the last day, he will completely divide and separate us from the wicked world, the devil, death, sin, and such. To explain all these individual points, it belongs to fuller sermons extended throughout the year, especially at those times which are appointed for the purpose of treating each article at length. For example, Christ's birth, his sufferings, his resurrection, his ascension, and so on. You know, so this ascension of Jesus with him ruling over absolutely everything at the right hand of God, this is where we now are living, like Bill Sievers said. Why has it suffered in popularity among the people of God? You know, I'm not exactly sure. I do have to kind of wonder if maybe the adoption in the 20th century of the so-called Feast of Christ the King kind of replaced the content of this feast, at least in the minds of some of the faithful. And certainly didn't help in this country when the Roman Catholic bishops gave permission to shove it off its date in exality onto a Sunday so that at least it would be given some sort of a nod, because they were also dismayed at how few people were actually still coming for service on that day.
What do we know about this particular hymn and its authorship?
First of all, I have to say how much I absolutely love this hymn, and in part because of the great man who wrote it. Bede He first came to the monastery at Jarrow as a youngster. He was born about 673 in, well, I guess we would say what was becoming England. In 686, plague swept through and took almost all the brothers of the monastery. Only the abbot Ceolfrith and a young brother continued to sing the psalms of the daily office, to offer up hymns of praise to Christ and to pray at that time. Just two of them. The young brother, apparently, was the 13 or 14-year-old Bede. And he ended up spending his whole life there at Jarrow, praying, singing, teaching. His biographer, St. Cuthbert, would later say, "I never saw with my eyes or heard with my ears anyone return thanks so unceasingly to the living God." He famously wrote the book History of the English People, and that earned him the moniker the Father of English History. But his real delight was the Word of God and his commentaries on Scripture. Yeah, they are renowned throughout the Middle Ages. And he showed both a reverence for the text of the Scriptures, and he listened respectfully to what previous commentators in the church had taught about these words from the Lord. And he had this way of combining the best of patristics with a very honest exegesis that made him so valuable as a commentator to generations after him. The hymn we're about to look at, it's not actually included in the fragment that we have of his 16 hymns, but the tradition ascribing it to him is strong. And it is, of course, a hymn for the Ascension. And that's fitting in the way that God works, Todd, you know, because you see, up to the very end, Bede was working on the Scripture. It was the eve of the Ascension, 735 AD. He is about 62 years old. He was working on an English rendering of the last bit of St. John's Gospel. He had a little boy helping him whose name was Wilbert. And Wilbert told him, "I think there's still one sentence, dear master, which is not written down." So he dictated that. And then he supposedly said to Wilbert, "It's finished. Take my head in your hands, for it delights me to sit opposite any holy place where I used to pray, that so sitting I may call upon my Father." So he just basically props him up on the floor of his cell. He sings out one more Gloria Patri on the eve of the Ascension, and then he breathes his last and dies, praising God all the way to the end. Isn't that amazing?
The primary, we're going to talk about a lot of texts for this, for the various stanzas of this hymn, but what's the primary biblical text?
Well, I think we're going to say the primary biblical text is Acts 1, where Luke gives the most detailed account of the Ascension. Obviously, he has, Bede certainly draws on all the places where Scripture even remotely touches on the doctrine of the Ascension as he weaves together the beautiful narrative of this hymn.
The first stanza of A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing. A hymn of glory let us sing, new hymns throughout the world shall ring. Alleluia, alleluia, Christ by a road before untrod ascends unto the throne of God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Will, where would you take us in Scripture based upon this first stanza of A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing?
Well, I do want to take us to Scripture, but before we do, I do want to make one comment about the tune, if I can. This tune, Lost Ones Therefore, and it has these, you know, the glorious Alleluias appended to it there. It's just important to note that that's not part of Bede's original hymn. He didn't have the Alleluias built in. So as glorious as they are, and as fitting as they are for the text that he wrote, he actually just wrote the smaller guts of the piece, if you will. So let's look at, you know, where do we go in Scripture? A Hymn of Glory suggest the hymn that glorifies, that praises and extols the Lord. And as we know, this happens not merely by standing in front of him and telling him, oh man, you're such a great God. It happens by speaking out the great things he's done for us in our salvation. And so this hymn speaks out the events that Luke records for us at the beginning of Acts, Acts 1. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, the ascension occurred. The hymn that glorifies the Son of God is part and parcel of the new songs that ring throughout the world. You think about Psalm 96, Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Luther aptly wrote about that new song. He said, God's cheered our hearts and minds through his dear Son, whom he gave to redeem us from sin, death, and the devil. He who believes this earnestly cannot be quiet about it. He must gladly and willingly sing and speak about it so that others may also come and hear it. And whoever does not want to sing and to speak of it shows that he doesn't really believe it. Preface to his Baptist hymnal. Love that. So throughout the world, the praise of the ascended Lord literally spreads joyously. The new hymns continue to pop up about it. And speaking of singing to the Lord in his song, just have to give a caveat here. I love the hymn of the day that's assigned to the ascension. It sports a marvelous text by Yaroslav Vajda, Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels, and it has an incomparable tune that you can actually hear the ascension take place in, written by our good friend Henry Garricky. But I'm saddened that Bede's ancient hymn got sidelined from the hymn of the day slot. Still, you know, any church that observes Ascension Day is almost certainly still going to find time to sing Bede's beautiful hymn. He speaks about Christ by a road before untrod. You might say, wait a minute. We heard an Old Testament reading about the chariot that swung low and picked up Elijah. And then there's that odd bit about Enoch. So is this road really untrod? Von Hegel's fine essay on this hymn in Luther and Hymnal Companion stresses that Bede's running with Gregory the Great's, you know, he makes a distinction between the aerial heaven and the ethereal heaven. In other words, Christ in his ascension, he passes beyond all things created, even heaven, into the heaven of heavens, as Hebrew would put it. Or as St. Paul says in the Epistle for Ascension, seated him at the right hand of power in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that's named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. That is, to the throne of God. Mark 16, 19 speaks of Christ ascending to the right hand of God where he was then seated. Bede's language here, though, seems most explicitly to draw on Hebrews 12, verse 2, that he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is what Hebrews also calls the new and living way, which he opened for us, that is, by the road he trod.
Stanza 2 of A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing. The holy apostolic band upon the Mount of Olives stand, Alleluia, Alleluia, and with his faithful followers see their Lord ascend in majesty, Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. Stanza 2 of A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing. Will, I am put in mind of, perhaps not closely related, when the apostles, after the ascension, they need to replace Judas, and one of the qualifications is it's got to be someone who was with us from Christ's baptism until he ascended into heaven. They had to be a witness of these things. And that's basically what the stanza tells us who the witnesses are, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, you know, it's kind of irritating that the translator has cut out the Virgin Mary, whom Bede mentioned among the faithful followers. Luke's not explicit on that, but I think it's a reasonable deduction given in the next paragraph, Acts 1:14, you have with the 11, the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers all continuing in prayer. So yeah, I mean, it's a bigger crowd. With the apostles, there stand a bunch of other people too, also participating in that first Ascension Day liturgy, if you will. And the location on the Mount of Olives is a scene for the Ascension. I think it looks back to Luke's previous volume, his gospel. You hear in 24:50 that he led them out as far as Bethany. That's located on the far slope of the Mount of Olives. Acts 1:12 does note they returned to Jerusalem from Olivet. That's another name for the Mount of Olives. And there is just something fitting about that location, where the crowds had assembled to welcome him into the holy city with their cries of Hosanna and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that's where he ascends to heaven in majesty until the clouds received him from their sight. Remember, you told them a little while and you will not see me, and then again a little while and you'll see me, and I'm going to the Father. Well, this moment of the Ascension, it inaugurates the church's little while as she stands and watches him disappear. Opie Kretzmann, in his absolutely stunning homily on the Ascension, says, "It was the solemn moment in the story of God and man when the visible Christ became the invisible Christ. From that hour, everything concerning him became visible only to the eyes of faith. The final line of demarcation in the world between those who believe and those who refuse to believe was now clear. Men can say all of this is not true and use the mind of man to reject the mind of God. Or they can know that God once walked among them and that they now have a friend in heaven who knows all that earth and time and pain can do to man." Just love that.
One more thing on that stanza, and that is they are referred to as the holy apostles. Why is that a fitting way to describe these men who at this time are still scratching their heads and need to be corrected by angels, according to one Ascension account?
Yeah. I mean, they're still waiting to get it fully. That's going to come on them on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit arrives. But they are the apostolic band because they are these ones who Christ himself called and appointed to be apostles, the 12, if you will, and then minus Judas and then replaced by Matthias in the rest of Acts 1. So they are the ones who will be the witnesses to proclaim to the world the truth of what happened visibly and the truth of what is now happening invisibly, that there really is a king on the throne of the universe. His name is Jesus, and guess what? He has flesh and blood just like you and me.
We're studying the Ascension hymn, A Hymn of Glory Let Us Sing. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, and host of a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our romp through Romans. Abraham, father of faith, promise guaranteed, peace through faith, reconciled while enemies, and death in Adam, life in Christ. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Weddings and pandemics, that seems like an odd combination, but it's the May issue of the Lutheran Witness in sickness and in health. The church will only survive COVID-19 by focusing on Christ, who offered his life for his bride that she might be spotless. So also the bride and groom will only fulfill their wedding vows in sickness and in health by focusing on Christ and his word of forgiveness. Subscribe to the Lutheran Witness at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, cph.org/witness.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the Ascension Hymn, A Hymn of Glory Let Us Sing. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest, author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. These books are published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Here is stanza 3 of A Hymn of Glory Let Us Sing. To them the shining angels cry, why stand and gaze upon the sky? Alleluia, alleluia. This is the Savior, thus they say. This is his glorious triumph day. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Stanza 3 of A Hymn of Glory Let Us Sing. Will, what are your thoughts on this stanza?
Well, he's obviously taking a little bit more poetic license as he unpacks the story here. Acts 1:10 records that it is as the apostolic band was gazing up into the sky where the clouds had received Jesus that suddenly, that's the behold, two men stood by them in white robes. That cues angels, and in all of our minds, we think then of the white shining robes we see in Revelation and elsewhere. And they asked the men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? And he gives them more lines than Luke does. They begin their answer with, this is the Savior. Well, where did he get that from? Well, remember Luke 2, of course, that is the first thing the angels cry out, right? To you is born this day a Savior. It's who he is. But this is his glorious triumph day? I think that suggests that the angels were themselves exulting in Psalm 47. Remember these words? Clap your hands, O people, shout to God with loud songs of joy, for the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. God, as in God made flesh, Jesus Christ. I think Opie Kretzmann, again, is right here with Bede in his Sanctified Imagination. He writes, there were no bells and banners on earth, but surely all the trumpets on the other side sounded as they had never sounded before. Surely the chiming golden bells of heaven sang their welcome, and angel choirs intoned the song of the throne. Worthy is the Lamb. Which, of course, lands you in Revelation 5. Remember, the Lamb, as though it had been slain, yet alive forevermore, receives and opens the scroll, and when he does that, all the joy breaks out in heaven. That's the explosion of praise that just keeps reverberating, getting louder and louder and louder. And when Bede has the angel say, this is his triumph day, I think that's what they're referring to, that beautiful scene there from Revelation 5.
They continue speaking in stanza four. You see him now ascended high, up to the portals of the sky. Alleluia, alleluia. Hereafter Jesus you shall see, returning in great majesty. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Stanza four of the Ascension Hymn, A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. Will, what would you highlight in this stanza?
Well, you know, after riffing a bit on the angel's heavenly explosion of joy, he turns back to the actual text of Acts 1. And here you cannot help but note the point you made in the introduction, how wedded at the hip the Ascension is to the parousia, the joyous appearing of Christ on the last day. This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. It's right there in Acts 1. That is, with the clouds and with great glory. And remember, he himself had prophesied as much before the high priest at his trial. But I tell you that from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And whenever you get mention of clouds and Son of Man, well, that calls to mind Daniel, right? Chapter 7, that strange vision that Daniel had. And I saw in the middle of the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he comes to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one which shall not be destroyed. He doesn't come back to begin his reign. He appears at the last day to reveal his reign, the authority that has been his, all authority in heaven and on earth, which belonged to him eternally as the only Son of the Father, but which he shared with his glorified human nature at his ascension. This is part of the great feast and joy of the Ascension itself.
We're studying the Ascension Hymn, A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing, with Pastor Will Wheaton. Be now our joy on earth, O Lord, and be our future great reward. Alleluia, alleluia. Then, throned with you forever, we shall praise your name eternally. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. We'll study that fifth stanza after the break. Are you still grieving, even months after the passing of someone in your life? The effects of grief, loss, and mourning are long-lived, even if it seems the rest of the world has moved on. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Living with Grief at issuesetc.org. When you purchase Living with Grief, be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, President of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues, etc.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues, etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Stanza 5 of the Ascension Hymn, A Hymn of Glory Let Us Sing. We're studying this hymn. Our guest's Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. What would you say about that fifth stanza, Will?
You know, when it starts with, Be now our joy on earth, O Lord, I can't help but again go back to Christmas and to the angel's announcement. Behold, I bring you good news, gospel of a great joy. I really believe that's the name the angel is giving to Christ himself. He is our joy, and he is on earth. We can share that joy here on earth because he literally takes our human nature into unity with his divine person, and that absolutely is our great joy. And it's not like it ends here, because he promised us, I will come again and take you to be with me, that where I am, there you may be forever. And so we have this future reward that we're looking forward to. But in this stanza, what really grabs me is the end. Todd, I hope you don't mind me waxing personal. The truth is, I am not given to tears. Maybe that is a defect, but it is absolutely true. I think my kids could tell you they could count on one hand the number of times they've ever seen their dad cry. And so I will never forget my shock at crying during a movie. Now, my wife, she cries at the Hallmark commercials. You know, I mean, that's the way she is. But I'm not like that. But I was watching The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I knew the story. I knew it inside and out well before I ever went to see it. And where would where would you think the tears would flow in that story, right? I mean, surely it's at the self-sacrifice of Aslan, right? No, I was my usual self there, not even totally dry-eyed. It was not until Aslan leads the children to Cair Paravel and shows them the thrones that had been built for them and prepared for them from long before. I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks. The tears were welling up in my eyes. And it was like, oh my goodness, that is what he's aiming for us the whole time, to seat you and me on a throne with him. And Paul teaches in Ephesians 2 that already by our baptism into Christ, we've been raised with him, and we in fact right now are seated with him in the heavenly places. But it also gives you a big clue about Revelation, right? Remember the thrones surrounding the throne of God and the Lamb? And then you realize that's the church. 12 for the Old Testament, 12 for the New Testament, 24 total for the whole people of God. It's the whole lot of the redeemed, and they sit enthroned in the presence of God. They reign with him. And so his joy really is our own. He is our future great reward. And to be with him, whose delight it is to make us kings and priests to his God and Father, so that we can join in singing his praise eternally, is really what life itself is all about. Yeah, it did move me to tears, the very thought of it.
Well, here is stanza 6, the final stanza of the Ascension Hymn, A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing. O risen Christ, ascended Lord, all praise to you let earth accord. Alleluia, alleluia. You are, while endless ages run, with the Father and with Spirit one. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia. Well, this final stanza is kind of a doxology of doxologies, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's so cool. You know, we've just been talking about singing praises to God's name eternally, you know, with all the saints and angels before the throne of the Lamb. And then now, proleptically, that future joy, it swings back into our present, and we get to actually taste it. We taste the joy of the doxology of standing together as his people and singing to him whose blood has literally set us free. You know, we praise the risen Christ, the ascended Lord, and we summon all of the earth to join with us in that praise. Remember, that really is the mission of the church, is to bring the idolatrous and lost children of man into the worship of the triune God. Let me say that again. The mission of the church is to bring the nations into the worship of the true God, standing before him, receiving from him his gifts, and giving to him all glory and praise, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To glorify Christ, who is risen from the dead and who has ascended in triumph as the Lord, risen Christ, ascended Lord, that rings in Psalm 110 in the background, right? The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So Jesus is David's son and David's Lord. You remember how important that passage was to him it was a matter of days before the offering of the sacrifice of the cross. Where the heart of praise is the glorification of Jesus. Find the heart of praise, you're going to find giving glory and praise to Christ, telling out the great things that he has done for us. And that literally just sweeps you up and carries you along in praise to the Father and in praise to the Holy Spirit, because he is one with them. Remember how the Athanasian Creed puts it? The glory is equal, the majesty is co-eternal, and so the glory we give is equal to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, even though it centers in, the focus is on the gift of the Son himself.
We're studying the Ascension Hymn, A Hymn of Glory Let Us Sing. Our guest is Pastor Will Whedon, host of a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Pastor Whedon is currently leading the study on the book of Romans. Be sure to listen and subscribe to this podcast at thewordendures.org or on your favorite podcast provider, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon. We'll spend the final segment of the program listening to the entire Ascension Hymn, A Hymn of Glory Let Us Sing, and we'll get Pastor Whedon's final thoughts after the break. I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're studying the Ascension Hymn, A Hymn of Glory Let Us Sing, with Pastor Will Whedon. Will, let's listen to the entire hymn, and then we'll get your final thoughts.
Oh,
The Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the Ascension Hymn, A Hymn of Glory Let Us Sing. Will, your final thoughts on this great Ascension Hymn?
Well, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So back to Bede and the way Cuthbert characterized his whole life as one big hallelujah, a life of glory and a praise to God, thanksgiving to him that never failed. Think how that carried him through all his way. Picture the young man standing in a monastery, surrounded by death, the death of so many people that were his family there, if you will, right? I mean, they're all dying around him. And in the midst of that, he learns that the praise of the Lord endures forever, as Psalm 111 says. And so he wafts his praise to the Lord, who has conquered death and who has defeated sin and who has brought him into the joy of his Father and his Spirit. And so what else are you going to do in the face of death and suffering and misery but to stand and sing to him psalms and hymns and Gloria Patris along with this faithful abbot? Picture this man who devoted his entire life to opening the sacred scriptures in joy that others might join him in awe at the amazing things God has done for all of us in Jesus Christ, and that now Christ rules over all things, seated at the right hand of the Father, governing all things, waiting for the moment of his return. Picture the old man laboring away to finish up a translation of the Bible into the language of his own people so that John's gospel could be heard and rejoiced in by the English, asking his boy at the end to prop him up so that he can look across at the chapel as he sings his very, very last earthly Gloria Patri. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And with that on his lips, passes on the very eve of the Ascension into that place where the songs of joy and the songs of praise to the ascended Lord simply never end. I tell you, Todd, when I think of it, it is just staggering. It is a great hymn from a great man who understood that this is indeed what we are created for. Created to praise, as St. Paul would say, that we might be to the praise of his glory.
With just a couple minutes left here, Will, at the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned someone saying, we need to celebrate the Ascension because we're living it right now. What did that mean, and make the case for the church's return to the celebration of Christ's ascension to the right hand of the Father?
I don't think anything demonstrates it more powerfully than that awesome postscript we've referred to so often, the postscript to the death of Polycarp, where, you know, his faithful followers are there writing up what happened to him. And when they wrap it up, they're like, well, you know, the dude responsible for his arrest was so and so, and the ruler of the council at that time was such and such, and goes on down, you know, naming these minor officials, and then it closes the whole thing by saying, but the ruling monarch was Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. That kind of gutsiness in the face of the world that could look at the world and say, you think that the one on the throne is someone else. The one who is on the throne is the crucified and risen one. He is our brother, the one who carried all of our sins to death on the tree. He's the one who is governing every circumstance of our life. And boy, there is never a time when the church does not need to preach that, and her people do not need to remember it and ponder it and live from it. Ascension, we need it.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and he's authored the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, thank you so much, and a blessed ascension to you and yours.
Thank you to you, too, and thanks for doing this great hymn.
Tomorrow on the Issues Etc., we'll get a review of the Netflix series Tiger King from Pastor Ted Geese. We'll discuss the Lord's Supper during shutdown orders with Pastor Mark Bestel, and we'll talk with Pastor Robert Zagor about preparing the church for the post-pandemic. It is comfort, pure comfort, to know that Christ's work is truly finished. His saving work is done, and he now is waiting along with the rest of us while his Father makes all of his enemies his footstool. How does that happen? Well, it happens as Christ's word is preached, law and gospel throughout the world, until finally his reign has spread. And when he returns, he will be hailed as the ruling monarch of all things, our merciful Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music.
Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.